welcome to our special guest, the brother and sister duo. We got Gabriel, comedian, entrepreneur, creator. I don't even know what else you do, man. You do something.
Yeah,
Jack of all trades.
Just and then we got producer, rapper, filmer, director, writer, content creator. Hacen de todo, Andy.
Oye, acabando.
Los Delormes are in the house.
Yes.
We met at La Leaf.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the last time we saw each other at La Leaf. Seems like the only time I see this man is at La Leaf.
La Leaf.
And then we always talk like, hey, how you doing? Oh.
Como si hablaron ayer.
And then we let go of La Leaf. And then I'm like, hey, how you doing? And now he's going to be a part of Revolution, which is really cool.
Okay, yes, you know? It's about the comedy hour.
So yeah,
I'm curious. You know, we obviously are going to talk about the video that you guys stirred up the pot. Part of that Soy and Nosotros Somos, you know, viral trend that's been going out. Before we get into it, though, like, how have you guys been, dude? Because I've seen, like, so much stuff going on. You put out music. You guys are both putting out music.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, how is the cigar thing going?
Okay.
I'm interested in that. And then I saw clips of you on Instagram. I don't know what it is you're doing. You're going to have to elaborate. Con los trajes de baño, esa vaina que te está
haciendo. Oh, y con los tacones.
¿Sabe? So Andy tries everything.
I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
You're not, like, heavily into comedy. Like, that's your thing now.
That's my thing, yeah.
So, like, I mean, how do you like it? Like, how do you transition? Because you're, like, creator to comedian. I mean, you obviously were doing, like, the creator side when you were doing Better Like and stuff like that. What's it like now from, like, doing comedy? Like, stand-up comedy?
I mean, I did stand-up before I even did Pero Like. So a lot of people, they see me online, they be like, Gadiel, I don't know. Because a lot of people, when they're creators and they come up through the internet and they do stand-up afterwards, they're not that strong, they're not that good. But, you know, I've been working on it so long. I've toured with Aida. I was opening for Aida for like a couple of years. You see what I'm saying? Yes. Now I'm breaking off and doing it on myself. But the thing is, I didn't post it a lot. I just kept it to myself because I didn't like people coming to the show just so they could laugh at my jokes.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I wanted to make sure my shit was solid before anyway. Can I curse you? I just did.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, that's solid. Fine. I'm a sailor, so Navy. Le voy a decir una cuanta mala palabra, señores.
Epa. I mean, we're both in the same boat. No pun intended.
Where's my Dominican flag? Dominican flag right here, man.
He's still giving me shit for the flag, bro.
Ya pronto.
He gets mad. No, he's...
Yo tengo uno en el carro. No. Yo tengo dos en el carro.
Bueno, tú me tienes que dar uno porque, mire, yo puse
uno
aquí y voy a poner uno allá.
No, ese tigre, mitad dominicano, has the Puerto Rican hat, the Puerto Rican flag back there.
Hey, this is...
Y di que healthy Rican all over the table. No. Y estaba en el coquín. Y eso no es. ¿Qué es eso?
Eso es de Puerto Rico. Yo lo de
Puerto Rico, estoy. Es por eso mismo.
Bueno, hey.
The only thing Dominican in here is me and him right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm Dominican too. Just because I don't have the flags up there. No, when we had the Latin Babble show, I posted them all the time. Like, even when I used to do the whole, and people started making fun of me because, like, my whole thing was like the whole two piece sign and then I had the two flags behind me. And people were like, what are you doing? And I'm like, bro, I'm you know, honoring both. I like the hat just because
it
serves as a reminder of, like, the resistance that's taking place in Puerto Rico. And so for me, like, that's why I don't wear the color one. I wear the black one. It's really important for me for that. And the Sasson, look, this is a friend of mine gave me these. Healthy Ricans, she gave me these. Like, look.
I want to try
it. She gave me a whole. And look, you get it, and then you get like a whole. She gives like a whole little personalized card with some stickers.
Regálame uno para probarlo.
Yo te lo doy, yo te lo pido. Yo tengo una caja entera. No me digas. Que ella me mandó.
Dile que me mandó una caja también.
But she got, look, it gives you recipes and all kinds of stuff. Like, it's a nice setup. It's a nice setup. But yeah, I mean, as we get, you know, bigger in this whole thing, we'll obviously have a lot more Dominican decor.
Gotcha. No, and I love that black flag, though.
Yo iba a traer un pilón, pero no lo
traje. Es jodiendo que está, Gadiel.
No, yo no estoy jodiendo.
Nah, he's been telling me for a while, like, where's your Dominican stuff?
Yo, claro. I always.
Representa.
So the next time I see you at La Leaf,
I'm the Dominican representative, so I gotta be like, ¿dónde está el hilo de nosotros?
The next time I see him at La Leaf, I'm just gonna wear a suit made of the Dominican flag.
Oh, diablo.
That's nice.
Qué bonito.
With a cake.
Yeah, I heard it here in his podcast.
They're going to put me on the spot. So now, where does that leave? I think it's in May,
I'm
going
to take a picture and post that picture.
I mean, I'm going to take a picture, too. I'll probably be thinner then, too. I started trainer this week. So.
Oh, well, congratulations, man. That's fucking awesome, man.
I'm trying.
I've been doing gluten-free.
I'm trying.
You know?
You're doing gluten-free?
And no
That's
sugar.
That's not the same thing. I'm not trying to do
but,
all that.
But I've lost a lot of weight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's I've good though. That.
Good yeah. for you.
See, I can't do the gluten for
you. You can feel it.
Mejor que me trape por todo lado and scraping in the cement before I try gluten free.
Oh my God, I don't know what's in gluten, but it's helping because ever since I let it go, I feel better.
That's excellent, good though.
Excellent.
Dale, you doing gluten free?
No, I was doing it for a while when, you know, I had a situation with my thyroid with some period of my time. And I noticed that gluten, when I got rid of gluten, it started helping. The way that we process wheat in the United States of America is not healthy. So we're not supposed to serve this to people. A lot of this type of way of gluten, they don't do that in other countries.
Yeah.
That's even banned in different other countries.
Like the process stuff.
The, right? the way they process. I think we get gluten extremely fast. Like what takes months or years, we get it in matter of weeks. Right, so our body are consuming this wheat that we can't. That our body doesn't process, so our body's like goes haywire sometimes. That's when we have the highest rate of autoimmunity in the United States of America. Yeah, like 90% of the people that die is from autoimmunity, and it's because they're also eating gluten that's affecting their body because the body can't. They don't know what the body doesn't know what the fuck is going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
then
process.
Yo soy un doctor. I'm a Latino
podcast. We're over here to talk about racism and roots. Yeah. And this brother went into like health 101.
Este país está del diablo.
Ay, Dios mío.
I love this country, though. I serve this country. I love this country.
I say the same thing. A lot of people don't get it, like even in conversations that I have today. But I couldn't have had the opportunities that I've had here,
mm-hmm.
you know, without being here and still keeping the culture. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Like, you can be anywhere and you still keep the culture. That's why Arsa Mi Bandera, when we did it on the previous show, that's what that talked about, is being able to leave your country, but at the same time taking that culture with you.
That's the theme song of the show, right?
Yeah, Mi Bandera, that was the theme song of the show. It was one of those, and it's a theme song for Revolución.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always going to be the theme song for Revolución. Because it's such a strong, powerful statement to be able to leave out of your country and still come into a new one and then basically teach this country now who you are and what you stand for and, like, you know, for it to be accepted. I want to know what you're doing. You got to tell me what's going on.
Andy. Right now I'm working on my feature film. I wrote a 91-page feature film about a movie about my life and something I experienced. And I love that I did that because I turned my pain into art.
Yes.
I was about to say, there's some healing in that, bro.
There's a lot of healing.
Sounds like it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I had to become a lot of people that brought a lot of negative triggers into my life and write their characters. And within that, I found healing because I started to see people through their traumas and not just what they've done.
You know? And she wrote that shit in less than 4 days.
What? Mm-hmm. 91 pages?
Yeah.
That's how you know you connected with it, though.
Yo.
Because I had to work, in the 4 days, I had to work two of those days. So if you think about the hours, I actually wrote it in 3 days. If you think about it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I cried a lot. I think every page, there's a tear in there. And I feel great because I'm going to act and direct in this movie, so we're getting ready to shoot the mocking trailer.
Every time somebody says it to me, I see somebody like acting on something and then immediately running around behind the camera cussing that person.
I'm like,
how do you direct yourself?
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've done it before. Me and my brother have shot other commercials for Lace where I would direct and also be Tio Lambong and also be his sister and also make sure to get his shots. I have ADHD, so it helps me, like, do multiple things at once. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I love what I do, and I utilize, like, what I'm going through to turn it into art. Like, now I became a rapper, so I made music. I'm learning how to record myself, and being a female rapper new to all of this, I'm still getting used to saying that out loud.
Mm-hmm. I like what you share because you make it real on your posts
on social media. You know, you share, tú compartes like your, you know, every face of what you're going through, what is happening, and what is taking you actually even to get there.
Yeah.
You know, you're expressing your feelings, and you're like, I just love it. Every time that I'm checking you out, I'm like,
she's transparent. She's very
transparent.
She's more transparent than me.
You know why? Because for years, I battled with depression by myself. And when I saw this video of Curly being an addict and seeing who he became, and then having my brother tell me like that he wanted to understand and he stopped judging me, I felt like, okay, I'm being heard, I'm being understood, because sometimes people judge you and don't even notice it. So you know, a person that's willing to be like, hey, my bad, I didn't know, and helps you be seen, that helps you through your traumas. Yes. And I knew that I didn't want to be these things. I didn't want to be an addict. I knew I wanted to be better, but I needed some type of hope.
The encouragement, you know? And the hope, yeah, like that support to
Because the people that are addicts, if you think about it, they're the most emotional people. They've been hurt the worst, and they just want to escape reality. It's not that they want to be stuck to these addictions. So that's why I speak about my addictions. I want people to see that, yes, I was an addict, I messed up,
but there's an out.
And look at where I am now, where I am a director, I am a producer, I'm an artist. Like, I used to not be able to say these things months ago, you know, where now I take my power back. And just because I acknowledge myself to be an artist is not being selfish, is being loved by yourself, like showing yourself that being, that gratitude that you deserve. After all these years of trauma, you need to be sweeter to yourself, because nobody else is going to do it the way you need it.
Giving bigger yourself question. Grace.
You did the movie, you were writing all these different pieces of people who have like hurt you throughout your time. Did you find peace with those people? Like, were you able to communicate with them?
Oh, they're like best friends now.
No, they're not.
No, I asked that question. No, there are some people who do that. Wow. There are some people who
I found a way to forgive all of them.
Yeah.
From
you
afar.
You forgive and not forget, como quien dice.
I would never speak to them. I have no business. I could see them and I don't see them, if you know what I mean. I don't need to speak to them. That's between them and God.
Yeah.
Or the universe. I just know for my peace. A lot of people think that you need to speak to someone to forgive them. And no, you can forgive someone and never want to ever speak to them again. And that's the way I see everyone. I just want their energy away from me.
I've done that.
As I clear minds, because I'm on a spiritual healing. Yes. And healing is painful. Healing sounds beautiful, but healing is beautiful, but it's
well, you can't heal unless you process the pain.
It's painful.
Yeah.
So it's hard, you know.
You know? People don't talk about how traumatic healing is, how hurtful, how dark it gets, how lonely healing is. But with healing, it's like a new you is born, you know, a you that nobody can fuck with. Like, you don't even react to things the same.
Exactly.
You, it's like you go through a different switch. I don't think the same. I don't move the same, you know? So I do appreciate that I've been finding myself through this dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's really cool. I don't know how to follow that, because she's not.
No,
I mean, I can relate like a lot to what you're saying, just because like I had to do that with like family, like you know, obviously not my immediate family, but like people in my life who have kind of created that kind of pain. And so for me, it's very similar. Like a lot of people, oh, how can you stop talking to somebody? It's not that I wanted to. It's just like we just don't have anything that connects us anymore. Like there's just that process that I've healed from, where I can sit there and look at somebody and sit there and say, okay, you know what? I understand why you did it, where it was coming from, this and that. I understand why I had to be the recipient to that. But like we don't have that connection. Yeah,
anymore.
It's not like we don't get to reciprocate that now going forward.
Yeah.
Like, ahí estamos.
Yeah, we're good.
I think a lot for me, because I'm an emotional person, I think a lot for me was, I was good, I was loyal, and I felt that so much happened and I wasn't heard, that I was like, I need to turn this into something, because, you know, voy a explotar, right now I'm trying to be positive, because I do have a following, I do have people that I'm like trying to be positive for the following I have, for the platform I have.
But you gotta be
and
real,
at the
though.
Same time, you're like, how can I be funny and tell people all is good when I'm dying inside, because this is all happening to me? And then, you know, it's just
I got a lot of flack for that. I got a lot of flack because on my account, like, I put, you know, a bunch of stuff, representation and all this and that. But at the same time, like in my stories, I'll put my feeling out there.
Oh, I do too.
I'll be that kind of person. And I'll have people message me like, are you okay? And I'm like, that's just my feels right now. I want you to know that the process I'm going through is not easy. It's not like,
I feel like people are so quick to defend the person that's the asshole and make you feel shitty for speaking up like for yourself and defending yourself. Like you get what I'm saying?
You're victimizing yourself.
And yeah. Kinds, you so know what I'm saying? That happens a lot. Even like I'm a lesbian and you would rather protect the person in the family that's probably the pedophile before you even defend the lesbian. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? So I see that a lot within a lot of things. And I hate that because I'm like, what happens to the one that has to suffer? And we're good people. What happens to though? Why my tears don't matter when I didn't do wrong, you know?
Do you feel like because I know you were originally in New York when you came here.
Yeah.
Do you feel like when you moved here, being closer to Gabriel and being able to work on this stuff, it was just a lot more,
to be honest,
a lot easier? Oh, this is going to be emotional.
I feel like she flourished.
I think Gabriel was the only person that believed in me at that time. So I needed that brotherly, I needed that belief because I was an addict when he asked me. I was actually high at the moment he asked me. And I was just like, oh, I got to sober up. He's asking me to move? Hold on. I got to make sure when I'm sober that he's telling me this and this is real. So when I sobered up a little bit, I called him again. And I was like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, you're my sister. You're funny and you need to be out here. And I said, the only way that I can do this with him is he has a platform that I cannot damage. Yes. That if I allow my addiction to control me, I'm going to fuck his career up, and I cannot do that to my brother. Mm-hmm. So I had to let go of all these addictions because I already had someone to believe in me. You know what I told him? Because before he used to scold me too. So sometimes you need to teach the people you love how to handle you because you're a little fragile. Mm-hmm. So at the time I would tell my brother, you know, when you speak to me this way, you know, what you say to me is very important. So maybe say a little kinder or this way, or I just need you to believe in me. I'm trying. And then I would break down what I was feeling to him. And then that one day when he said to me, I understand. Mm-hmm. That's all he had to say to me. I understand.
How difficult was that for you to be able to like open that door? And
I think it was, I feel like my sister's a lot like me. And I was like, oh, if I could do it, she could do it. So that's when I was like, I talked to her a lot. And I remember I was working at Pedal Like, and I'll send her videos and she'll watch and she'll laugh. And sometimes I'll be like, I got this joke idea. And I talk to her, she'll laugh and she'll say something funny. I'm like, yo, that's funny. You know, she even has helped me with tags on my jokes. But one thing I noticed that everybody that talked to her was scolding her. Like, it was like, ah, oh, mira, qué depresión que tú tienes. Y los muchachos en la República Dominicana, y ellos no tienen nada. Ellos no tienen nada. Y no tiene depresión. ¿Y por qué tú tienes depresión? So it was a lot of beating down. And life is fucked up.
Yeah.
Life is fucked up. Like, even for me being in LA, like, even though people see me at Pedal Like, I was like, it was hard for me too, right? Going through everything that we were going through, there's a lot of pressure. You have to produce content creation.
I can only imagine.
Bro,
content
like.
Content creation is just way stressful.
It's a monster.
I didn't even know it was that much until I started to do this with my brother.
You're spending hours. You spend hours for the prep of the script. You spend hours for the right shots. You have to get the right shots. You have to make sure you edit
even
it.
Even a 1 minute video, people don't know how long it takes to edit.
Pero like era nosotros que estábamos haciendo todo.
Yeah.
We were the writer, the producer, the director. Mm-hmm. We had to get the plays. We had to hire the people. And then after that, we edited it. So people didn't understand that we did it. That's how come I can edit. A lot of creators don't even know how to edit.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But yo soy un matatán cuando viene esta editing.
You are.
Yeah, I don't know, but this new
stuff
with other
people. Not because he's my brother. Mm-hmm. He's very creative.
Mm-hmm.
He's very smart. Like, that's another reason why, you know, I felt comfortable coming out here.
Yeah.
You're very smart, Gabriel. Like, I feel like you can conquer anything you put your mind to. You're funny as hell.
We can.
You know?
We definitely can.
Right. See, I'm loving this.
The journey has been really worth it.
This is why I wanted you both in studio. Like, I didn't want to have this interview separately. I wanted the brother and sister duo to be like, hey, here. I thought.
I remember she came down here, and it was, she was in a very dark place, and she was such in a dark place that nobody could get her out, and it was years, you know, and I don't know if you want to dive into that or whatnot, whatever.
You can go ahead.
It was years, you know, I think if you want to go deep, I think you should be the one to talk about this, but I just remember the family, you know, always talking to her in a way, and I was like, that approach is not going to work. And I was like, well, I got to do something different. Exactly. Let's talk. What's going on? Let me try to understand. But like, you just got to think positive. And I didn't understand mental health at that time. I'm like, just think positive and everything will be fine.
I don't think anybody did.
And at the time, she's like, God, yeah, I can't think positive. Like, that's how you don't give a fuck about being positive. The crazy thing is
that all my friends that I would feed my addiction with are dead. Mm. That last one died on April 20th, I believe.
Man, that's crazy.
Oof.
Yeah, it was also the environment. She moved to Brooklyn. I think it was Brownsville. Uh-huh. It was the hood. It was extremely like poverty is next. The environment, your environment feeds you, right? And you, in order for you to thrive, sometimes you got to get out of that environment, mm-hmm. right?
So, I feel like you saved me and being.
That's why I asked that question.
What happened of me ending up here saves me. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
That's why I asked that question, because it seemed like...
All of them are dead.
Every single time I...
Tú imaginas? That would have been me.
Porque yo hablo con ustedes dos, like every single time, it seemed like the move was the biggest, biggest thing.
That's the,
like
the biggest blessing.
Like being taken out of an environment and being brought into...
And to be honest, for years, my brother asked me to move out here. Yeah. This is not just for years. But my addiction was so strong. And I also was like in love with someone that I wanted to be by her side, that just moving away really it messed me up, you know? So for years, I'll be like, no. But even so, that person that I was in love with, she would tell me, like, yo, go with your brother. You know, like, she'll push me to move to my brother.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I got attacked in New York. It left me blind for, like, 3 months, right? And from one eye. But that was the biggest blessing. Even though at the time was the worst shit, and I was in my head and I hated it. You go into a dark place because you're receiving death threats online from people. Yeah. And all you want to do is just fucking dig a hole and just crawl in it and not come out. Mm-hmm. And to have, like, someone like your brother who at the time that I'm an addict, I'm looking at my brother like, you're so amazing. I don't want to fuck this up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And to decide, like, okay, if my love for my brother is so big, I need to leave the love that I have for my addiction. Because when you're in an addict, you also, it's hard to let that shit go, you know? But it took the love that I have for him to be like, nah, there's no way I could fuck this up. He's giving me another chance, an opportunity to prove everybody else that I can do this. And people will call him like, you sure you want her to move out there? Mm-hmm. You sure? Think about it.
That, I mean, it had to be people who were like sitting there saying, oye, si tú te metes, te va a joder la vida. Because that's the way it is. I know the talk. Like, I've heard it, especially from that aspect of it. I was curious about that because of the fact that, like, I see you two now and... you know, we were talking before that where we were like met at La Leaf, and since then, like, your bond is like unbreakable. Like, everywhere I see you, you both are like the dynamic duo, like the Wonder Twin Powers.
Yeah, you're
like Wonder Twin Powers. Actually, like, I'm gonna become a Platano.
Yeah, that's before my time, but
Did you know what I was talking about? So shut up, because she did. She knew what I was talking about.
He's just before my time.
Yo no sé qué está hablando, mi hermano. Yo soy Gen Z.
Probably has underwears with them on there. Los dos culos así.
Soy Gen Z.
Ay, Dios. One thing that I did notice by coming out here was how different I would be treated out here.
The experience.
Yeah, and then I remember explaining to Gadiel, like, listen, I remember he was like, go ask them if they're going to stay in that parking spot for me. And I'm like, no, I don't want to, because they're going to treat me a certain way that I'm not ready for, like, right now. Like, you know, because there's a time where you know you're going to receive it, and you're like, I don't want to deal with this right now. So that it was like that. And he was like, no, go ahead. I still went, and the person, like, brushed me off.
Oh, boy.
And my brother noticed that, and he got so upset. And I think that was, like, a wake-up call for Gadiel, like, oh, shit, this is real, that it's happening out here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good way to turn it to the Afro-Latinidad.
Yeah. It's like moving on. Ironically, because that's
so you want to start with the video first.
Yeah, I think you know the.
You're like, let's switch the whole subject.
Let's switch the whole subject.
So this is what happened.
I was trying to move around, but ustedes estaban ahí. Ella estaba llorando. You were supporting.
We were talking about her addiction. Yeah,
I'm like, this is good media. But, no,
I just felt so bad because I know you wanted to talk about that. So
no, look,
I don't want us to like derail.
My.
That's his job.
Ever since I've met both of you, I think I'm big on stories, mm-hmm. and I think that success stories, especially of that magnitude, mm-hmm. are like really important, and mm-hmm. they need to be told. Like people need to know that there is a possibility and a way of hope
of getting
to
out
to go from that point in life into another. I would never stop anybody from being able to tell that story, and I would give time all day.
I think, and then you're the master of your story.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. and I feel like you know, even for me, like it's hard for me to. I also have to be respectful to your story, in the sense I also feel like I can't just throw it out there, you know, because you're the master.
Yeah, because she's the only one that could tell it.
You're the only one that could tell it. You know, and there's more to the story. There's more that she went through. She did went through an attack. A homophobic attack that she almost lost her life. She lost a vision in one eye because of it. It was extreme. It was a crazy fucking time. You know, she was I didn't know that you were addicted to drugs, but I know that she was an alcoholic at that time. That was extreme. That nobody in the family wanted to deal with her at that time. And also, when you're that depressed, you just become suicidal. And I don't know if you want me to mention this.
Yeah, you can. I'm gonna
just want to be respectful towards you before. But at that time, and it was years like this. It was years like this. It was the environment like this. So if people gave up, I remember everybody in the family gave up. So how can you bring somebody out of that dark hole? That is the darkest hole. And I would tell Andy, when you hit rock bottom already, where else can you go? When you hit rock bottom, where else are you going to go? There's only one way to go, right? But no matter what, it's not about thinking positive. It's not about talking positive to people. People don't want you to be like, listening is not going to get, but you know you're going to be okay, but no, you know that you can do it. It's not that. It's just, they just want to be heard and understood.
Correct. Listen.
Just listen. But is your that we've ended the dream now?
I am. I want to thank my brother for believing in me.
Did it. You fucking took the chance. Boy, you got out of it.
I'm getting goosebumps here, man.
For real.
Yeah, we were going to talk about this video, but in no way, shape, or form am I going to let that conversation.
It's crazy. We forgot about that.
So. Yeah.
It's things that make us stronger.
Yeah, but it's crazy because when I look back, I was like, I remember she got here and she was so depressed and she couldn't even move from the couch.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was like, she got here, okay, you're starting a new life, and I know that feeling, like, what the fuck am I going to do now? It's depressing because your life completely changes. Yeah. You know, and got into some bad relationships out here. And to see that and then see now, complete 180 is like a completely different person. She's like, Adiel, you know what? I'm going to make it happen anyways. I was like, "Who? This person, I've been trying to get this person for a very long time, right? Who is this person, right?" So the way she moves, the way she thinks now is complete opposite of the person she was at that time. Right, and I knew she had that person in her. I knew it because if she's anything like me, she is just like me. She's gonna think like me, but she gotta come out here to get that grit, get that feeling, because she's not gonna get that over there. So in the bottom of my heart, I knew that this me inside of her. It doesn't sound right, but
I was gonna do that. I get what you're trying to say, but you she says she lost weight. She said that she stopped gluten. Ahora estamos aquí.
Ay, Andy.
But so like I knew it when she experiences and taps into her inner self, that's gonna outshine and she's gonna become the person that she needs to be. And right now, she is that person. Now she's like, I wanna do this, I'm doing that. I got a song that came out, right? I got a song too, but that's not, I'm not looking into
it. Nobody's talking about your song. We're talking about her.
It's our song because she's in the song too.
No, it's funny. No, I loved it. I mean, I watched it a couple of times. We were sitting there, you know, looking up a lot of the, I saw it when it first came out.
Okay.
And then, and I actually sent you a message because I wanted you to, I wanted to see what the possibility was, but it's on Instagram and nobody sees my messages on Instagram. I'm like, I'm going to stop sending messages on Instagram. Yeah,
No, I get a lot of messages though. But I do want to say for anybody listening, if you're an addict, you can get out of it. I did. You know, at least look for my story if you want. It's out there. I'm an open book. I did it, and you could come out of it. Just know that it gets dark, but after the darkness, it does get brighter.
Yeah.
There's light.
You got to take risks.
You have to go through all of that because you start learning about yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be like, they say healing is not going over it or like... is going through it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have to face it, man. And people that are not facing it, they just turn into drugs and alcohol. And it's so much easier to do that because this world is a fucked up place.
Mm-hmm. And even if you're not going through all of that. No, because there are people who repeat history. And it may not be drugs and alcohol, but it may be patterns of behavior and all kinds of stuff. Emotional. Like, I mean, you got to eventually like hit that stuff head on, because if not, you're going to just be doing this one giant cycle for like...
And it's also about, if you keep doing the same thing, you also playing a part of the results.
Yeah.
You know? So you do have to like change shit you're doing so you could get a different result.
Yeah. Exactly.
So for me, I realized like no matter what, there's a lot of the things that I played a part in a lot of things. We're vibrational beings. So for example, if I vibrate in a lower frequency, I'm going to attract someone that's living a low frequency. Mm-hmm. Even though I want to ascend, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. So once you're in a higher space, and if you notice, you start to attract people that are in a higher vibration.
Correct.
You get what I'm saying?
Correct.
So I tried that. I didn't fully believe it when I first heard it, but I was like, let me try it. If you could ask my brother, I was the most negative person. There's nothing you could have said to me that I wouldn't say I don't give a fuck about, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I was hurt. But I said, let me try it. Let me try to be positive for a little bit. And that's how things started to change. So the mind is very powerful. You have to fight to keep a positive mind, you know? With drugs and alcohol, you're just numbing it for a moment. And I think that's what I did for a while. I got numb because I didn't give a fuck, you know? Deep down, I wanted to, but I needed time, you know?
I mean, I think that process, look, we're gonna move on to the thing because I think that process was brought you guys now to doing the content that you guys do.
Yes.
And the latest video basically stirred up shit. So 1.3 million views.
Yeah.
You guys basically jumped on a trend. You went with the Afro-Latinidad concept, being Afro-Latino. I'm going to play it
because
I think it's kind of important.
Okay. Soy Afro-Latino y la gente se sorprende que hablo español.
Wow, tú hablas español muy bien. ¿De dónde eres?
Soy dominicano. ¿Y tú dónde eres?
Pues soy mexicano.
Wow, tú también hablas el español muy bien.
Soy afro-latina. No soy bonita para ser negrita. Soy bonita.
Somos afro-latinos. Y sí, somos negros.
Ah, no, black.
Bueno.
Soy afro-latina y no tengo pelo malo. Lo único malo eres tú.
That's actually hilarious.
I think that last part is what really triggered people.
A lot of people, yeah.
I think that was the thing because there's a lot of our people that go pelo malo and nobody says nothing. And it's so ingrained within our anti-blackness is so ingrained within our conversation that's so normalized that we don't even notice the racism and how we talk about it. And the moment that you point it out, they're like, you go and people were attacking us saying that we are the woke terms. I don't give a damn what you think, woke or not, whatever you want to call it. Racism is racism, and I'm not going to stand by it. And we see a lot of black folks, a lot of black Dominicans, I seen a lot of black Dominicans going like, ay, va tú. Yo odio esa vaina afro-latino, esa vaina americana. You're trying to, they're trying to say that because it's something that is supposedly American, that's not something that's Latin American. This is Afro.
Eso fue lo que más, you know, I think really brought the attention because I'm glad that you formatted it in Spanish.
Yeah.
Like, lo hiciste con un propósito. You made it intentional to make it in Spanish. I'm not discrediting anybody else that have done it. We have had the conversation. But something like, you know, in those views and those comments, like, it made... He did it in Spanish. They did it in Spanish. And I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be good. Esto está bueno. And, you know.
And to be honest,
esa conversación.
What I like about this video, first of all, I want to give credit to my brother because he was very adamant about getting this done. So thank you for doing that because without the persistence then and consistency, then
that
was a great idea. And it's something that I would love to do again. But I do want to point something out that – the video, our intent was to show the racism we experience here. Because these are real things that I've experienced. I've experienced people tell me, ah, pero tú sí tienes el pelo bonito para ser morena. Tú eres linda para ser morena. I've experienced here. Mm-hmm. La gente diciéndome a mí, ah, pero ¿de dónde tú eres que tú hablas español? Porque, just because I'm black. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So... the video was intended to say, hey, these are the things we experience here. Mm-hmm. And what people paid attention to was, oh, you're calling us Afro-Latino? That is not... And then the racism comes out. Si uno se da cuenta de, lo, de comments. The comments itself were racist.
Yes.
¿Te entiendes? En vez de la gente decir, diablo, eso es lo que ustedes pasan por allá, que podemos ser nosotros para respaldar nuestra gente. Ellos dijeron, ah, esto es lo que ustedes son esto, ustedes no son esto. Se pusieron a discutir en vez de soportar.
So, apoyar. With that,
apoyar.
But, so, that's the way that you broke it down. So, pero él empezó con el primero, que was definitely a punchline.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we were, hello. Yeah. Si yo hablo español, tú también lo.
No, I'm pretty sure your experience is aquí todo el tiempo. Y cuando tú hablas con alguien que no habla nada inglés, tú le hablas español y como quiera te habla inglés. Dije, tú no entendiste, no viste que te hablé en español, coñazo.
Sí, pero
está la pantalla. No,
registra. Sí, pero la cosa es que la gente no pusieron atención a eso. We pay attention to that. People paid more attention, not what we were trying to put the message. They didn't get the message. The message went over everybody's head if you're reading what they're saying. All they thinking about is us calling each other Afro-Latinos. You get what I'm saying?
Okay. So the
that's,
third piece.
Yes, that's the actual issue. You get what I'm saying? And instead, that shows like there is a problem. If you have a problem with the word Afro that means black, there's an issue within you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I want to call myself Afro-Latina because it helps me deal with the bullshit that I deal with here. Yes, that I do. Then that's your issue. That's not mine.
I think that was the underlying issue, because when you look at the comments, a lot of them are no such thing as Afro-Latino. That's like saying Blanco Latino. Eres Latino in punto. We come in all different shades and mixes. Please stop spreading division. That was a common comment throughout the entire time that you guys were in some way, shape, or form compartmentalizing,
creating division.
It says here, another invented BS from the U.S. Creator hate. The race of every Dominican is mulatto, better known as mixed. There's no conversation. And then I laugh because the one guy who won the internet was the comment that I love the most. Let's just ask the police, and then we can end the discussion. That brother won the internet with that comment.
Tenemos un idiota que dijo, but we were slaves for a little bit.
Like, I didn't see that one.
It was not that bad. We were just slaves for a little bit.
I laugh at it because, like, when you look at some of these comments,
ignorante. You know,
it's just people who are like, obviously, look, there's a conversation that you have to have there. Like, for instance, I'm Puerto Rican Dominican. Mm-hmm. We've been solidarity, we've been bussing. But like me personally, like what she's saying, she calls herself Afro-Latino because she has to deal with like that. And there are Dominicans out there who are like me, who are like, okay, I don't feel like I can call myself that because I don't have the same experience.
Yeah.
You do. Like my cousin Jamie.
And I respect that.
He is like dark, okay? Mm-hmm. when a cop stops him or sees him, we have two different experiences. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I've gotten the racist because of my last name, not my skin color.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference between somebody who's getting... Es que tú pareces un blanquito también. You can get away with it. You look like the CEO. And when I was an AT&T, Bank of America. When I was an AT&T customer service, you couldn't even tell. I was like, oh, thank you for calling AT&T. My name is Raphael. You know, like, you don't... So there's a big difference between that experience. Mm-hmm. And so I think for those Dominicans, I think they need to understand why the term is being created. Like, pero you know what I'm saying? Like, or why the term is being used, and why are people associating like that? Or even indigenous Latino people who are going back into like...
Una cosa, es que mucha de la gente respond just to say something, not to really understand. You get what I'm saying? So we can discuss something if you're willing to communicate. But are we going to discuss because you just want to respond something? You're not really trying to understand where I'm coming from, my experience. Nobody's hearing that out. They're just like, no, this is just that. I don't like that. And so it's not familiar to me. But
Amanda, too, because when you go to like our countries, you can see the division between the two people of the colors. Like, don't tell me that racism doesn't exist. Oh, that it's worse. Ellos dicen que no ven colores, pero ellos ven latino, ¿verdad? El color de latino, ellos lo ven. It's not even, like, you can look at government, you can look at novelas, you can look at everything. Sí, exacto, la representación. You see color. You see
color. You see color cuando le conviene. La gente no entiende que we have to take on these terms. And it's not, we are taking back our identity because they're trying to erase Afro-Latinidad and where we come from. I was decir que yo soy Afro-Latino, yo estoy entendiendo de donde yo vine, de donde yo vengo. Y lo que la cultura mía ha afectado todo Latinoamérica y todavía hasta el sol de hoy no somos representados en Latinoamérica.
Hay cosas que uno ve y dice de que es afrolatino y el único que parece afrolatino es de la lista es un morenito y los otros son blanquitos y dice que son afrolatinos. Todavía they don't represent us.
Mira lo que te estoy diciendo a ti. Aquí en los Estados Unidos hay racismo. El racismo que es peor que aquí en los Estados Unidos es en Latinoamérica. Por eso es que tenemos que adoptar afrolatinidad. Porque nosotros venimos del mismo barco que los negros de aquí, de los Estados Unidos. The transatlantic
slave trade. Pero la parada simplemente fue diferente, ¿no?
Sí. ¿Entiendes? So ahora, en nuestro país, tú ves, como tú dices, la telenovela. Cuando se viene con oportunidades en Latinoamérica, no enseña un negro. Y la gente, muchas veces la gente, ¿sabes por qué la gente no sabe que nosotros como negros no existimos en Latinoamérica? Porque la media en toda Latinoamérica, las imágenes de nosotros es cubrida. Yeah. Como si no existimos. Mm-hmm. Y hay más. Fair skin, nice hair. La misma publicidad donde se está en el mercadeo. El mercadeo. Y en Latinoamérica ha habido más negros que van para allá en Latinoamérica que en los Estados Unidos.
Yeah, people never understood that. More Africans go in the transatlantic trades than I think only 100,000 came here in the United States. The rest of them literally went to Caribbean Islands.
Exactly. Caribbean Islands. And how come we don't showcase? Because we don't talk about it. You know why? Because a lot of Afro-Latinos that are in Latin America don't even accept it. They've been colonized mentally.
Yes. And we're still those people that say, you're trying to... I can't even speak about that. Yeah, yeah. You feel whitewashed with the concepts. Yes. You know,
but también is...
With the Columbus, with the discovery, you know, they don't talk about that part of history.
No. También, another thing that's like very important, I talked about this previously, is that we were raised by a generation that was not emotionally intelligent.
Exactly.
For a world that no longer exists right now. I'm able to explain it well because I've seen something similar online where I'm like, okay, this is exactly what I've been trying to say. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the way our generation right now, what's happening and everything, we're supposed to evolve from that.
Yes.
Because we're now living in a whole different world. But these people that mostly don't experience are either light-skinned Latinos or Latinos that are still stuck in that old generation that don't even know how to communicate into this generation.
Yeah. Correct.
You know?
Yes.
I think that what has helped me a lot is learning about emotional intelligence. And I want to give credit to Annie Ferreiras because she has brought that up into my podcast. And I think that that's something that should be taught around, you know, emotional intelligence, because maybe it will help, like she says in her words, it will help people you know, like a lot of things will make more sense and people will be more in control of their emotions.
Yeah, especially when we go through so many generational traumas, you know, cycles and, you know,
I think in my case, the thing that made it easier for me to understand a lot of the terminologies and a lot of the battles and a lot of the awareness being brought to today is I've always surrounded myself by like young people just because my kids, you know, my kids are young. So for me, like even when I'm having that conversation where like I personally don't address myself as Afro-Latino. I just don't feel like I have that experience just because that's my experience though. But I feel like these people are like trying to take away an experience that is taking place. And like, they're trying to justify it by just trying to like what you were saying, associate with the side that they feel is more beneficial.
More beneficial.
You know what I'm saying? And I just don't feel like that's correct. If there's somebody, it's why in Revolution we have so many different identity panels.
Yeah.
Like we separated them. We do it, we're uniting them all for Revolution 2024, the Empress. But for the online, it was important for us to have an Asian Latinidad panel and an Indigenous one and an Afro Latinidad and LGBTQIA. Because I wanted to make sure that people understood, like, okay, there is a whole ass community that is dealing with the situations that you're dealing with. And it's important for you to hear that there is an actual option for what you are feeling, you know, because it's almost like what Roberto Clemente went to. You know, we're in a different breed because it's like we come into the United States and like he did, he wasn't black the way he, you know, would be considered here in the America as black, like African-American, but he wasn't white. So it's like he was a Afro-Latino, which is a term that we're using for. And so he was in his own capsule. But at the same time, he was being treated like everybody else.
Yeah, that's true.
That had the same color of his skin.
Yep.
And I don't think that people understand, like, okay, you may want to sit there and say, oh, we're not white, we're not black, somos Dominicano. No, bitch, like that one joke said, you know, have the cops stop you. And have we'll see which version of that Dominicano you are.
And to be honest, I just feel like if you don't understand it and you have not experienced it, then you have nothing to say about it.
Ask.
You know?
Yes.
Right?
I think it's important to ask. Please. I think a lot of people will save themselves a lot of freaking time if they just turn around and sit there and say, what do you mean by Afro-Latino?
And the people, they always talk about like privilege doesn't exist. And that's one thing that I'm frustrated is when people talk around like, privilege doesn't exist. Privilege doesn't exist. And there's a lot of people that are in big media that are like, there's the Candace Owens is a big promoter, is a black woman, you know, that's married to a white man that perms her hair, going around saying, white privilege doesn't exist. You're like, girl, you're speaking for these people. Of course, you're making money out of people telling people.
I think
that
she's more clickbaity.
She's like, more clickbaity. Yeah. She doesn't. Yeah, she knows what she's doing. But like the
that
shit.
That said, I'll tell you this though. I don't agree with
she's
her.
She's not representing
with
me.
I won't agree with her with what you're saying. Yeah. I think she's full of shit.
She's full of shit.
But her numbers don't lie.
Her numbers don't lie in what way?
The numbers in the community of what she's talking about, they don't lie.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
Like displacement, the under support that we don't get from the minority communities. Yeah. Those numbers don't lie.
Well,
I promoted those numbers.
I don't know much but more about her. All I see every time she has some rhetoric and she talks a lot about
that
white privilege doesn't exist. That's why I have a problem with that because I see it personally. Mm-hmm. You know, Candace Owens, she's or somebody she's that's famous, people know, white people see her, she's like one. She's OJ.
Yeah, she's jumping.
She's OJ.
Yeah.
But definitely
right?
She's not invited to the picnic.
she's not invited to the panel.
But when I walk with my sister, and we go to a place, there's times Andy goes like, Adiel, I'm going to go and I want to get this apartment, but I don't feel comfortable looking at apartments by myself because of the color of my skin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo soy más claro que mi hermana. So entonces, yo no entendía the type of privilege. I have privileges.
Yes.
I have to admit that I have privileges over my sister, even though I'm Afro-Latino. I'm a light-skinned black man.
Approximation to whiteness, yeah.
That's
why I said I get a different type of racism when it comes to that.
The moment that I really fucking experience the racism is when I'm tagged around her.
Yeah.
And she's so comfortable with it that it's so normal to her. It's so normal to her. And she was like, she was like, Adia, that's every, that's a Tuesday.
Yo, no se acostumbra. Uno se acostumbra.
Yo,
antes me daba pique, antes me daba mucho pique, pero uno después se acostumbra y uno dice, ya, ¿para qué tanta rabia?
It's sad that you're saying that, though.
You know?
When you think about what that, what you're saying, yeah. it's like you've gotten accustomed to it, like if it's the like we've normalized it.
Yeah.
Normalize it.
As a society.
The society.
We've normalized it. The fact that she has to feel to the point where, like, that's normalized.
That's normal for her.
No, but it's just the point that you're not going to put to any more energy into it either, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I would get angry for a long time because I know I'm a good person. I know I have a good heart. So I wouldn't understand as a child, like, so why am I being treated like this? Why am I getting yelled at? You know, like, why is that person better than me? Because they're lighter, you know? Mm-hmm. So I thought that I had to be better and be more loving to people and be an ass kisser because that's what you become, you know, to try to be accepted, you know, until the day that you're like, you know, fuck this shit, I don't care, this is not right, I don't like the way I'm treated, I need to speak up, do changes for other little girls that look like me.
Exactly.
You know. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing.
I remember those ones that I'm like, and you feel that shit, you feel it so bad, and there's microaggressions, right? Yeah. And then la primera vez que yo estaba con mi hermana de la vaina del carro, and the guy brushed her off, and she came into the car, and I was like, ¿qué pasó, Andy? She's like, he just brushed me off like that. I told you, God, they're not gonna respond to me because I felt that she felt uncomfortable asking the guy that for her to go because she knows she's darker.
Yeah,
she knew it. She was like, I'm gonna get racism is gonna happen right now, and I don't want to deal with it. And I didn't think about it because I moved through the world a little different than her, right? And I sent her over there. When she came back, she's like, told you, Gadia, like, he brushed me off. He went like this to me. Like, you know, come on, like, if she was a homeless person. Or she was asking, like, if he's going to move the car so like that we could get the parking.
Right.
Yeah, that's what she was going to the car to. Ask the guy, like, hey, are you going to move so like that we could park there? That's what I was sending her to. And the guy went like this to her.
Oh, boy.
Didn't even look at her. Wow. Just kept looking at the phone. Right? And I got mad and I went looking for something in my car like this. And then she grabbed my arm and said, Gadiel, calm down. Gadiel, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. I was like, how can you be so calm? I'm fucking pissed. And I'm like, I'm aggravated. Yo quiero hacerle algo, yeah. Right? And then we found parking. We were walking back. And I was so mad. I think I had change in my pocket.
A cup of ice.
It was a cup of ice?
Yeah. It was a cup of ice.
It was a cup of ice?
Yeah.
I had a cup of ice. You know, we walked by. And she was like, look, that's the car where the guy was at that did that to me. I was like, that is the car. And I grabbed a cup of ice and went, whoo. And he's like, bah, 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 bah.
his car.
All right, on his car.
Another time was when my brother was shopping for houses. I may be saying the words wrong. And one of the ladies, one of the houses that we stopped to go inside, she, as soon as we walk in, she like grabbed her purse. And she's the person that's showing the house. Grabbed her purse. So I right away start talking Spanish to get her comfortable. And she like let go of her purse.
Remember that day you went to an open house?
Yeah, went to an open house. So we know that we got to switch it up and talk Spanish to make you comfortable. Because obviously my presence is making you uncomfortable.
What about in GNC? We go to GNC, it's like they don't want to attend us. They're like, you know, and it'd be on people a lot of times.
Yeah, they didn't want to attend us.
They don't want to attend us.
I think, so you guys are experiencing that here in LA.
Yeah. In LA.
Because I've always told everybody that, like, I haven't really had a discriminatory experience.
Uh-huh.
Like, throughout my life,
it
just hasn't been that big of an issue. You know, when I was growing up, you grew up in, like, Miami and stuff like that. So for the most part, and I don't have, like, obviously, I don't have Andy's skin, so it's just different. But it wasn't until I came to LA that I first felt like I was different. And it was, we had just moved to Agoura Hills, and obviously my last name is Fernandez. My daughter was doing some project, the Box of Love that she does every Thanksgiving. It's like creating boxes to help people in need, you know, receive Thanksgiving dinners. And we had somebody who was interested in writing a story about it. And so they came to the house, and it's a nice house. Like, we're in Agoura Hills. If you don't know where Agoura Hills is, it's over there. It looked like Disneyland. Like,
No, so I don't know that.
It's just four-bedroom, you know. It looked like, you know, there's a bunch of people writing, bikes as families.
Yeah,
neighborhood.
Robinson's neighborhood type stuff. And she comes into the house and, you know, the first, the question that came out of her house, it's like, oh, this is a really nice house. And then she goes, do you guys get like some type of assistance for being able to live here?
Wow.
And I was, she said, yeah, I was like, I'm like, excuse me. She's like, oh, you know, was there any program or something? I'm like, no.
The assumption.
I can afford this house. That's the reason we're here. Like, I paid the deposit and I paid the whole, you know, I pay on a monthly basis. We pay like $4,000 rent here. You know, back then my kids were just out of college. So I was, you know, forking that over.
Wow.
Her expression on her face said it all, which is why I didn't continue on that path with her. Yeah. Because it seemed like she was shocked that somebody from the Latino community would be able to come into a white neighborhood
and be able to live with them.
I've never experienced that. Except for here in LA,
nobody brought it to your attention.
The state of all inclusivity, que si yo que lo otro, and I've never gotten that till here.
Me and Gadiel on the regular get that, like the first scene on the video where he's like, "Wow, tú también." Hola. That's something that really happened. Yeah. Me and him were going to Northgate, and we asked this lady for what section the crackers were, and she was like, "But we asked her in Spanish," and she was like, "Wow, y ustedes hablan el español?" Y Gadiel le respondió, "Wow, y tú también." You know, like that's
just and ever since that, like, the sarcasm coming out of his mouth with that.
But that's because we were tired. You know, I didn't know que era una sorpresa que yo hablando español. Yo no sabía eso, ¿no? Porque para mí era, es normal.
Yeah.
Que Emma, que mi mamá no sabía que yo hablaba inglés until like first grade. It was first grade.
Yeah.
Entonces, imagínate. You know, Gadiel ni sabía que él entendía el inglés hasta que gente estaban hablando delante de él y él diciendo,
yeah, oh, shit. The first time I figured out that I learned how to, I knew English.
Really?
Yeah, now my English is better than my Spanish. Mm-hmm. My dad was talking. Somebody was yelling at my dad at his business, blah, 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 and my dad's not understanding anything. And I'm like, I'm understanding everything that guy's saying. And he don't like you.
Oh my gosh.
Are you guys going to be making more of these type videos? Like, are you
of course,
going
to- yeah, of course.
We gotta do more. Sabes que my homegirl Maya was like, Gadiel. And she told me, hace una semana me dijo que haga esto. For me to respond, I'm going to respond to some of those comments. She was like, respond to the comments, do content, and respond to those comments.
Yeah, you did a couple, you know, videos.
I did like a little Insta story, but I never like posted like a response to that, which I should, and which I'm going to do. And the thing is, we have to continue. But this... We stirred the pot. What that video showed us is like, fuck, we got a lot of work.
We
really
have changed since 2020.
I do want to give a shout out.
And we're in 2024. Nothing has changed.
I do want to give a shout out to Eliana Reyes. She is talking about this video on LA TV. So I want to give a shout out to Eliana Reyes. She's very big on black and brown.
Yes.
She's really big on Afro-Latinidad. She's doing it the right way. And, you know, the words, I forgot who said it, but she's like our Dominican Oprah, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't really want to be associated with Oprah these days. Not after the whole thing with
no,
with
but a Taraji better version. A better version.
Because they can't get rise to say. Yeah.
No, a better version. Like, a better version. You know, que esta mujer es bien sentimental, bien simpática. Yeah. She's a real one. She's real about her business. A lot of people say, I want to do Afro-Latinidad stuff. And all you see is some white Latinos claiming Afro-Latinidad because it serves whatever the hell they want to accomplish, but not give it to the actual Afro-Latinos that need these platforms. Let's start doing real Afro-Latino shit with people that are really black.
Yeah.
Stop putting these white Latinos as Afro-Latinos, please.
I mean, that's why I'm the only white person in this room.
But then the thing is that they come back and tell you, it doesn't sell. Yes, it does.
It does. Yeah.
But the reason why we're even talking about this is because we're not being heard. We want to be heard. We need our own shine, our own platforms. Mm-hmm. Because el white Latino has been doing this for years. Mira cuánta novela del pasado sin without counting Chica La Silva.
Yeah.
Hay una morena que se hicieron una novela de una morenita. ¿Entiende? Hay que cambiar eso, señor.
We're all sitting here like
No, there hasn't been. And if they show the one that works at the house or
yeah,
she's always the help.
They're always the help. The help or the villain. Yeah. Like, the help or the villain. That's just the way it is. That's one of the things why, like, for me, it was important when we relaunched this show to be able to, because I reached out right away when I saw the video. I was like, we got to talk about this shit.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to be able to highlight the video and give it more breathing room. You know, because obviously things will die down for some people. Mm-hmm. You commenting right. will bring it back out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the way the algorithm works.
Yeah. February is around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Black History Month.
Black History. Yeah, so, and let me tell you guys something. I gente que talked about it before, and I don't want to take any credit from anybody else.
Correct.
But we popularized, we brought that shit back again. I would say we revolutionized Afro-Latinidad and Pero, like, yeah, that we started seeing a massive change. Yeah. We're seeing a lot more people embracing their natural hair. We saw a cultural shift when we were, and it was a lot of work that I did in Pero, like, and to see these comments after I did that one Afro-Latino video was hurtful in the sense that I dedicated so many years to this work, and I feel like society went back. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but it also goes to show that there's a lot of work for all of us to do.
Oh, yeah.
All of us.
We have to educate our people because most of the comments that were hateful came from our people outside of the U.S. That don't experience this. A lot of the hateful comments and ignorant comments came from people that are not here to experience these things. And the ones that are here to experience these things but had negative comments are light Latinos that are never going to experience that. Mm-hmm. And if they do experience it, it's with a cop. You know, like it will be with a cop. Like you said, like, let's
put it to the test.
Let's put it to the test with a cop. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm still dying because that comment was like, I went through a lot of comments.
I was first looking at it
on the computer, and you don't get the full comments. So I had to go through my phone.
Yeah.
And I was just scrolling for hours. And I was taking screenshots. I was like, oh, I like this one. I was taking screenshots. And I finally got to this dude's comment. And I was like, okay, this brother won the day.
I didn't even see that. Should I pick that comment?
I'll send you to I'll text it to you. It was one of those where I was just like, coño, se la ganó.
I pinned the comment.
Yeah.
That was like, it's nice to see Dominicans making content embracing their blackness. Mm-hmm. Because we're known to not embrace it. We're black people. Majority of us are black. Like, it was like 80% of the country is like black. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Pero nosotros alabamos el blanco. That thing, the reason why Andy and I are so strong with it, because we grew up in a household that was anti-black. Still to this day, even though I've done a lot of Afro-Latino content, I still got to talk to my mom
about relatives. Yeah.
I still got to educate our family.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Curbing that.
Can you imagine growing up in a household with a person that you love, that you look up to, it's always saying something anti-black? You and this person is white.
It happens a lot, especially in the Puerto Rican household.
Yo, uh-huh. You're anti-black.
It happens in the household too.
Now I'm growing up in a household that my hair is bad, my lips are big, that I am too dark, that I need to get with somebody lighter because that's how we're gonna make you fix better.
Your race. Also being raised by light skinned parents that don't know how to take care of black children, and with that it comes with lotion or hair supplies and proper care of certain things. There's a lot that I learned because I have a stepdaughter. Mm-hmm. By taking care of her, and she's black. Yeah. Taking care of her, I learned, like, oh my god, I am supposed to be doing this. Oh, I'm supposed to be doing that. Oh shit, this is good for my hair. Or
there's a lot of people who told me that
you know,
they wish they would have known how to take care of certain things. Yeah.
And those two points that you really made about it, because you talk about beauty. Mm-hmm. And the definition about hair. It was like, why we talk about our hair? Because it starts right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's something that it grows naturally, but we were compromised and compliant to changing our appearance mm-hmm. for in order to survive, in order to get something. Yeah, yeah.
But I think light-skinned parents should do the research and educate themselves on raising black children. Because raising black children is way different than raising a child who's not black. You know? I think it was like a year ago, my ex called me because my stepdaughter got in trouble in school because she said something about police officers being all bad, you know? And she goes to a private school. So she's like only black one and all these white kids. So she got in trouble for saying that, you know? And I had to talk to her and teach her that, whatever she's seeing, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And she at this time she was 8-7 years old. Thinking this way, you get what I'm saying? And getting in trouble for feeling this way? And how do you explain to a child that not all cops are bad, but what you're seeing, yes, I understand, because I also fear police. You fear police, mama? I fear police, too. But how do you teach a child that what their feelings are valid, what she felt is valid, but how do you prepare a child for that scary part of this world?
Right. Yeah, how to navigate that.
We live in a society that is either black or white, that they act like there's no gray area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The things are like, you know, the things are supposed to...
We don't have any compromise. Yeah, there's no compromise.
Like exactly. Even, people, like the whole cop situation, people are so divided with the whole cop situation. Yeah. Cops act different in white neighborhoods, they act different in black neighborhoods. They move different. And there's bad cops, but not all cops are bad.
Exactly. Yeah.
There have been cops that saved my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That been cops that changed my life.
I got cousins who are detectives and all kinds of stuff.
I got family members. I got family members that are police.
Yeah.
I am afraid of cops. Yes.
I'm afraid of cops too.
But guess what? My father's a police officer. Yeah. Great police officer. My sister, great police officer. Mm-hmm. But there was people.
The whole Blue Bloods episode.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Right here.
And there were cops. And real talk, there was a Black Lives Matter march in D.C. And there were cops that have kneeled as well in support of Black Lives Matter, right? But that we live in such a society that everything is so drastic that it has to be this or that.
Yep.
No. Both could be true.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point of Afro-Latino. You can be both.
You can be both.
Yeah. You can be both.
Yo soy Latino como quiera because guess what? Ese reggaetón que tú escuchas y ese dembow y esa bachata y ese merengue viene de esos negros.
Yeah. pero también si no te está haciendo nada a ti,
right,
¿qué te importa
anybody?
A ti lo que yo me llame y por qué?
That's the biggest, and we'll close with that because I think that's the biggest thing there, and it's one of the things that for me I just don't understand el pique.
Yeah,
it doesn't hurt anything.
No,
for somebody to turn around and say I'm Afro Latino. Like, how does that enrage you? Like, I know people who associate all kinds of things. A mí que me importa. That's how you associate. Dale. Mm-hmm. Like, if you wanna be in touch with your African roots, like I'm the type of person who is like, I understand my African roots. I understand my Taino roots. I've embraced all of it. The part that comes from Spain. The part that comes. I embrace all of it. That's just the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's somebody who, because of their life experiences and because of how they wanna associate and what part. Who gives a shit? Like, déjelo.
Déjelo.
Like, why are you so upset about that? What does it do for you? That means that you have an identity crisis that you have not solved.
Exactly.
That's your thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's ignorance and inner pain. And you're absolutely right. If people want to identify a certain way, then why does that hurt you?
Yeah. I know people who want to, like my cousin, you know, I love him. Complete, like he will go in and his whole thing is Taino roots, like that's it. Like, he wants to learn it. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Like that's who he wants to be, and he has every right to do that. Yeah. His ancestry points to it,
and that's beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing
to be reconnected to your
I just don't
roots,
understand
where you come from.
I love it because it's these conversations that we want to have on the show and to be able to kind of be able to bring out and bring that awareness out there.
But one thing that I do want people to pay attention to is like there was no hate made with this video.
There was not. It was funny as shit. But I found it hilarious.
But it did show trigger. It showed a lot of hate that exists.
Oh, yeah. Because you, porque ustedes pusieron ahí, ustedes, mira, la parte, the thing that tripped me out, and I told Gabriel about it, that one where you guys are sitting there, I was like, oh, somos afro-latino, y somos negro.
Oh, my God. I know black.
That shit was hilarious to me. That was hilarious. And I knew when I saw that, I'm like, oh, God, I gotta look at the comments. Because I knew the one about the hair and, you know, the Spanish. Yeah. That shit gets watered down.
I don't think we knew the impact it was going to have. I don't think we did.
But I will say this. I love that me and my brother are always down to, like, stir the pot. You know?
I mean, you have to.
Because...
Yeah, push the envelope.
Yeah, because we feel strongly about these things. I admit, look, my brother has become, like, the biggest advocate. You know, like what he said earlier, I'm used to a lot of shit. I'm used to people treating me with their homophobia, with their racism. That to me is like, ay, whatever. I like what you said
also the other day, because I think you had an incident about the video when you were at an event in person, if you want to talk about that too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What happened? I ain't know about this.
He's like, I ain't know about it. It's on social media, papa.
Okay, so... But I was saying something before. I'll jump into this.
You told me that.
But what I... I forgot.
You got like 2 minutes.
Okay. So a guy just approached me and he's like, oh, yo vi el video tuyo de Afro Latino. Entonces yo, ¿qué? Pero la forma que me lo dijo fue como de relajo. Y van así como, oh, sí. Yeah. And then like I shut him down. Like,
como de burla.
Que no me gustó. Entonces él se va. Después que él se va, él ve que estoy con el hermano mío y vuelve otra vez, que ahí ya y me dio con el pique más grande. Gadiel no se dio cuenta, porque Gadiel no estaba ahí in the first time that he approached us. So
the person
that I was with, she witnessed like what happened in the beginning, and she's witnessing the second time too. So she's already irritated. She's like, ¿por qué tú tienes tanta pregunta? And then Gadiel, he didn't know what was happening, so Gadiel is answering him, whatever. Gadiel is not noticing, like, he's being funny with you, Gadiel. Like, I already know, because he already tested me earlier.
There for the first part.
I ended up like ignoring the dude and telling him, like, yo, I put him on his spot. Like, yo le dije, mira, toda esta pregunta que tú me estás haciendo es como de relajo, a mí no me gusta de eso. Yo no estoy aquí para eso. Si tú quieres hablar de cosas así, tú quieres saber de verdad, podemos coger un día de hablar de esto, pero la forma que tú estás viniendo de mí es de relajo.
Yeah.
Y después de ahí lo ignoré.
Yeah.
Pues la gente, uno cree que porque uno está haciendo todo esto, que uno no le va a abrir la boca a uno. Pero yo sí me defiendo. Si tú estás mal, yo te voy a abrir la boca. La gente cree que porque uno de esto no se va a defender. Hay que defenderse, hay que hablar.
You know,
I'll give you the last word on this. Put you on the spot.
No, I did notice that guy's energy, and it reminds me that, you know, I did a conference and for Afro-Latinos and stuff like that, and there was this one guy there that this guy was, like, the president of, like, the Dominican Film Festival, like a gatekeeper, and I think... I think there's certain Dominicans, and I don't want to talk about that group specifically, but that are considered nacionalistas, and there's some of them that are ignorant. Not all of them. Yeah. Right, there's some that are doing it for Dominican pride, but there's a lot of them doing it because of racism. And this is a man that he could walk through this world, and the cops would be like, "Nah, son, you're kind of ambiguous." You know what I'm saying? So we're in the panel, and I posted the video on my social media. And he goes like, "I feel offended." He said, "You guys are all here on this panel talk about Afro Latinos, and I am." 90% white and 25% African descendants. First of all, esa matemática no va. Right? And he goes, like, I feel offended that you guys are here talking about blackness and Afro-Latino, but what about my white side that I am French? I'm also French. Y yo dije, Jesus Santissimo, the audacity and the balls of this man to be here, and we are celebrating Dominicanness, and New York University to have an event like that is amazing.
Yeah.
And this man walks in with Dasha Polanco, because Dasha Polanco is like, I'm gonna make a movie and work with him. There's a woman that claims to be Afro Latina. This man goes out and says, I am offended that you guys are not representing my white side, and I fucking destroyed this man in this fucking video. I posted it. That shit, it hit.
It went viral
on all my socials. And I was like, how are you offended when a whole country has been nothing but lavando el blanco y ser más blanco?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Que hasta Trujillo se pintaba la cara de blanco. Because he was a mixed race man.
Yeah.
Era mulato y se pintaba de blanco para aparentarse más blanco. ¿Tú entiendes lo digo?
No, I mean, I get it. I mean, I think that's a conversation that we're just going to have to keep pushing him down people's throats. Like,
definitely that way.
Yeah.
And we are going to keep pushing
it. We're all doing it together.
We're not done. This is only the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've always said this to you guys every single time we have this conversation. Whatever we can do on our platform that will help elevate that conversation, like, we're complete game. Like,
no, we back. Yo, they put the battery on our backs.
Yeah,
I feel bad because she was, like, calling me, Gadiel. I said, Gadiel, these comments. Gadiel, they put the battery on my back.
and I replied. You know why I keep replying?
She was arguing for days.
Yeah.
So hace cuatro días,
I lived this my whole life, so I'm not gonna shut up. Yo tengo algo que decir.
Yeah.
And that's why I get mad right away in the street if you bring it up to me, because how you gonna tell me about me? And I'm over here arguing for days. Do you know how many comments and how many people have to shut down with their stupidity and their ignorance for you to come in person to me? Now you want to come in person while I'm trying to live my personal life?
Yeah.
Internet is one thing. Yeah. Let's keep it in the internet. When you see me in person, let me live my personal life. I'm not here to disrespect you. Do not disrespect me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And even if you may be a public person, it's still, you know, boundaries.
You know, it's boundaries.
You have to respect.
So, and now we are seeing change in culture. Even though, like, we atrasamos un poco, we are seeing a little change in culture. Like,
I mean, we're moving forward. It may not be at the pace that we want to, but we're moving forward.
I'll
take an inch as opposed to no movement.
Because I can't see, if you look at, like, the Univisions of the world and the Telemundo of the world, there are some shows of that there are showing people with their natural hair. They're a little bit more inclusive than what was
before.
We're
opening up the door for more acceptance.
But they're not showing anybody black yet. They're like, you know
what?
We have
to be the owners of the networks. We have to create that content.
Even with a lot of things that they always say, oh, we're trying to give these Afro-Latinos a spot and the people they pick, once again, ninguno se, you see one or two. You don't see more than two. Look at anything that they say they're going to pick Afro-Latino. There's not more than two Afro-Latinos in there. Everybody else is not Afro-Latino.
Yeah.
Now, when we
they might as well say, we're looking for Latinos.
When we
take the Afro out, then.
When we created the whole Afro-Latino
panel. You're already salty about it.
I am salty. Yeah, I am, because I'm sick and tired of it. We don't deserve this shit. This needs to stop. There's a reason why we have our own lane. Because our lane keeps being taken from us. And it's still being taken from us. Look at anything that says we're offering this for Afro-Latino. Analyze that, guys.
Nobody
and see
be,
who they picked.
Nobody
who
wanna,
they pick?
They don't want to be Afro-Latino until
they don't want to be Afro-Latino until
they conviene.
I took myself. She knows. I took myself out of the panel last year.
Okay.
Specifically because I felt like Jovi would be a better representation of that Afro-Latinidad discussion.
I respect
and
that.
And for me, like. I know that we do that here. We are very intentional to make sure that, you know, obviously I'm not going to get out of this show because I was involved in this conversation.
Then again, Rafi, you still have a level of consciousness, you know, and awareness. That
I think for me, we've always said it since the beginning, and I learned with this, you know, representation matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's, you know, vitally important for me. And I felt like this discussion was something that we needed to have, especially with the show starting off and everything, to be able to kind of bring this to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And you two are like the perfect representation because of the video that just came out and the actual comments and the, you know, the I guess you can say the hate that was coming from it. I hate to say the word hate, but a lot
like,
of it was
respect
hate.
Respect it even if you don't understand.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If they want to follow you both, where would they go?
Oh, you can follow me at Gadiel Del Orbe on every platform. We do have a podcast coming out called All Things Latino Podcast coming out on February 1st. We're working on creating a network, All Things Latino Network, and that's where we create media, social media, every media there is that represents us, every color, every race, and every gender. We want to be inclusive, but like, we need media that's for us, that's owned by us.
Yeah.
So that's the goal. So,
And for me,
My social media handle is Little Dude, which is spelled LITODOOD. I also have my own podcast. It's called Damelu Podcast. And you know what? I'm going to use this time to announce that I did buy the name Dominican Entertainment, because I do want to bring a lot of Dominican things, media out there. So there you go.
Did we just get exclusive content? Yeah.
Nice. So she
announced it here first.
Yo, that shit was not taken. Dominican Entertainment, she was like, yeah.
Wow, nice. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, and if you want to hear my music, you could also look me up with Little Dude, LITODOOD, and you will hear my dembow music.
You want to hear my music? You want to hear my music? You go download it on every Pornhub platform there is.
All the people now like.
Actually, there's something about his feet online.
Oh, he's got
somebody had a feet fetish with his feet.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. You got nice feet. Huh? I'm on like a feet. What is a feet?
I don't know.
Gadiel feet.
Gadiel's feet.
Yeah, it's a foot fetish thing.
Something about his feet.
And they grab every picture with my feet.
Yeah. I don't know. How many pictures you got out there with your feet?
Somebody.
But I'm about to post one of me holding a hot dog.
We're gonna highlight because now we're getting into foot fetish. So bye, I don't know about all that. But
I got nice toes.
I got
nice toes, y'all.
Thank you for having
us. You can lick honey right off that shit.
It was great having you both. And I love the discussion, and I can't wait to see what you guys reply.
Andy, thank you for opening up for us.
Thank you.
This is gonna be
It was a great show. Great episode. Yeah.
And we're gonna find out when the views come in.
No,
but honestly, all jokes aside, you sharing your story and being able to talk about this topic is something that is really special to me, just because like it hit homes in a lot of different places. And there's a lot of people who are going to be able to listen to this or watch this, depending on where you're doing it, and be able to relate and to find themselves in that conversation. And that's what it's all about. Like for me, I can have one person who like really connects with it. That's all that matters to me.
Yeah, I respect that, Rafael. You're creating a platform where people can speak up on this. Mm-hmm. And this, creating content like this is extremely important. And people like you make shit happen. And what you're doing today will affect the future and the next generation. You don't know who.
It'll be a ripple effect.
Yeah,
ripple effect. Butterfly.
I appreciate that. I'm humbled by that because that's like you. That's one of the things that we're trying to do here.
There's people in higher positions than you than doing the.
Not even doing this.
Don't even think about it.
I know that.
Don't even think about the damn show.
I'm still trying to find a place at that table, but that's all right. Eventually, they're going to be coming on mine. They're going to be coming on mine. But anyways.
Build your own table.
Yeah, that's what I say. Build it. Build it and then.
This show is not going to end. If you're trying to end the show, it's not going to end.
You can follow us on all platforms at Todo Latino Show and at Todo Wafi. Make sure to catch this interview on YouTube and make sure to follow these two amazing individuals. I'm Rafael. That is Yobi. That is Gadiel. That is Andy, and we're out.